first thing that happens is, let's say, for instance, a family has two people, two children. And you have one native parent and a non-native parent. The shares are, let's say, willed to two of the children, 50-50. So you now have two native people owning 50 shares each. Then that's in the first generation. Now, that could be fully diluted if you have more children. It just goes out. If you have four children, it's 25 shares. If you have 10 children, it's 10 shares. So in the first generation, you can have the shares being diluted right down to almost nothing, and in fact lost in the first two or three generations. So that's a proposed solution is willing, but it isn't. It's a problem, and we have to deal with that. I think some shareholders are rightfully confused about land ownership. And what I'm talking about there is the land ownership by the village corporation versus land ownership by the regional corporation, which Gene George brought out in his statement, is the fact that the village corporation owns surface land and the regional corporation in the same area owns the subsurface land. And if there is development by the village corporation, by the regional corporation, how do they get along with the village corporation? If they don't get along, and if they want to, let's say, extract minerals or oil or anything that is in the subsurface, how do they do that? So it brings out a conflict if there's problems between the village corporation and the regional corporation. I think the benefits of the settlement is, number one would be, it's sort of ironic, I think, that we will be owners of our own land. And although we owned the land before, we will now own it again, but hold title to it. If the profit corporations are managed right, and the benefits to the shareholders, if the profit corporations are managed right, and I think the corporation could be one of the most valuable tools to help the native people. And I'll give you an example. If the corporation managed right and is successful and makes money, it could provide jobs, it could provide dividends, it could be a training ground for shareholders, it could provide educational opportunities and money. And that's only if the corporation works. So there is, if you deal with all the problems and if you get to the point where the corporation is successful, making money, there's a lot of things that the corporation can do, and it's a tool that can be used if it is successful. Some of the other things that the corporation could provide are retirement, health plans, just about anything. It could help with the cultural retention, the preservation. If you have a corporation that makes enough money, there is an unlimited things you can do to help the shareholders and the people that are involved in the corporation. And the key to that success is it's knowing and understanding what the corporation is. Some people can say that, we don't need the corporations. The corporations aren't working. But it's what we have now, today. And if you backed up and observed it from the future, looking back to us being today, that the corporations is not the right answer. It's something else. It's something that I think Spud was trying to bring out and Gene was trying to bring out, that we have to have something that it reflects membership as the Native people go through the generations, that they still are members of their tribe or the group that they belong to, the village. So the success is in the corporations, if we get back to the corporations, is knowing and understanding what it is, how it operates, who it represents, when and where it's located, what it does, all the different things of what, who, how, when, and where are all could be applied to a corporation. And I think if those questions were answered and understood by the shareholders and the officers, the boards of the corporation, that you'd probably, and if you had, of course, the business people that you need on a profit corporation and have made money, then you could have the successful corporation. There is confusion. I just like to point this out. There's a lot of confusion caused by the state and federal agencies and also the corporations. And I just, this is minor, but it, I just like to point the confusion out to you is that there is all kind of kinds of agencies and committees and groups that are trying to help. And the problem there is we don't know who they are or who they represent because of the different things they call themselves. For instance, you know, the BIA, the TCC, although we know who TCC is, you have all the other different alphabet names that come out, AFN, ANF, FNA, ANCSA, ANILCA, ANCAB, the OTPF, BLM, and it just, the list just goes on. So it really provides confusion for people. And so if you have confusion, you don't understand what's going on, you don't understand who they are and what they're trying to do, if they are trying to help you. Finally, I think that the corporations up to this point, and this is my own personal observation again, is the corporations have, in some instances, caused mistrust among the people. This, I say, because of they don't understand how the operation of the corporation works. They don't understand what the corporation is trying to do, if they're trying to hurt them, help them, make money for them, make money for someone else. So there is mistrust among the people and between the shareholders and the corporation. And it's true. It's something that will happen if you don't understand what each other is supposed to be doing. The second thing is there has resulted in a lot of bitter feelings between the people because of the political allies that have to be developed in the operation of the corporation on the board of directors. The politics part is something that has to be there, but it also develops bitter feelings if there is a rivalry or something like that between different people trying to run for the board or become officers of the corporation. The hardships, I think there's a lot of personal hardships caused to individuals in the Claims Act, namely the corporations, because of the burnout situation that you get in people that are in the leadership position. There's people that are employees that are laid off, the firing of employees, all these different things cause personal hardships on individuals in the corporations. And finally, there's the Claims Act through the corporation's operations has caused a lot of division among the people. The political divisions never were there before. If they were, they were all solid. We were able to walk down the street in the village or any place and still have friends. I remember when my dad used to operate a river barge service up and down the rivers. When I was a kid, we were raised on the river, and I knew a lot of people and a lot of good friends up and down in all the villages in the interior rivers. And but I think as a result of the Claims Act, you do develop some frayed relationships between friends you had. And I think that that's a result of the corporations and the Claims Act. But those are things that we have to deal with. I think the future looks good for the successful corporations. And that I think that if they're successful enough, and there are some village corporations and regional corporations that are, they're going to be able to retain ownership because their shareholders have seen that they've really tried and succeeded in developing the corporations the way they envisioned. I think the unsuccessful corporations are going to have real problems. That just, once again, it's my own observation. I think if the fact that a person sees that his corporation is very successful and he realized that his 100 shares in 1991 is worth a lot more money than the unsuccessful corporation shareholder, he's going to probably sell out too if he sees fit. You know, if the shares are worth $100,000 in an unsuccessful corporation, and let's say $1 million in a successful corporation. You know, if I had you ask a person in the village, what would they do? And the question is, you know, they'd have to answer that themselves, but they also have to understand what they're selling. And that goes back to the point I was trying to bring out earlier on the misunderstanding of the representation of the 100 shares. Finally, I'd like to conclude by saying that if the corporations hear the elders and what they're saying throughout the years is that they keep on saying that we should unite and be together, and they keep saying that unity is something that's going to help us. I think if the village corporations and the regional corporations could consider a merger, a complete merger, and I know that, you know, if we think about it, it's probably impossible at this time, but if they could consider a merger, that would result in unity, but more recognizable. The result would be the most dominant force economically, financially, and politically in the state, in this whole state. It's a force that would have to be recognized, reckoned with, regardless of whatever happens. It would result also in the single most largest landholder, the private landowner in the world. So I think that the corporations should consider, and I think our elders group here in the interior called Donacanaga, 2 years ago, passed a resolution saying this. They urged at the AFN convention that all the regional corporations had worked together and try to unite. If there's in the future, 1991, when that rolls around, the regional corporations that are unsuccessful or the shareholders sell out, the land is then owned by non-natives, or it could be foreign governments or whatever it is, whoever buys it out. Then it further weakens the natives neighboring, the neighbors to the corporations. And the example is, let's say, for instance, Doyen Limited lost control of the interior. Their neighboring corporations are The Slope, Nana, Bristol Bay, Chelista, Otna, all the ones around us. We're right in the center. If we're bought out and lose control, there's a good chance that whoever comes in there is going to be looking, of course, at the neighbors and buying them out. So I think that, once again, I'd like to say that our elders have urged unity, and I think that if this, and I know this, it's probably just a dream, but if there is a merger of all the village and regional corporations, once again, it could be one of the most dominant forces in the state. Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Dementiev, could I just ask you a question? You said earlier that the people should understand what corporations really are, and you pointed out the benefits that they could confer if they were managed properly. And then you referred to the idea of a perpetual membership. You referred to the idea of perpetual membership. I didn't quite follow you. Were you suggesting the corporations should convert to perpetual membership, in which one generation follows another into membership in the corporation, or were you talking of something quite different, that is the tribal institutions?
What I was getting at was what is being looked at today is the use of things that are in place now, the IRAs and other institutions that could help out. And those are options that all the ANCSA corporations to look at. But I think that what I'm talking about is something, if there could be a possibility of developing something new that is different, that has everything that we're looking for. And I don't know what that is, but that's what I was referring to. If there's, you know, I don't know what it is, but if it could be developed, I think that's something that could be looked at as a vehicle for continuing membership concerning the shareholders.
Yes, at Anchorage, we had Native leaders from Canada who've reached land claim settlement since 1970 when one come over to testify. They have corporations, just as you do, but they are perpetual membership corporations. There are no shareholdings and no possibility of transfer of shares. But the point was made that that means they're not in a position to issue shares from the Treasury in order to raise money, as your corporations will be able to do in 1991 if there are no restrictions on who can hold shares. I'm not suggesting what they've done is a solution, but it's something that is a little different from what was done here in 1971. I wonder if you could just answer me one other thing. When I've been holding these meetings in the villages, I've said, is there anybody here who wants to make sure there are no restrictions on his right to sell his shares in 1991? Speak up if there is, and nobody has gotten up. I don't know whether anyone will, but no one has gotten up and said, yeah, you leave me alone. I want to keep my shares, and in 1991 I want to sell them and get some money, and if that means giving up, you know, my land and my cultural heritage, well, so be it. I haven't run into anybody who said that yet. Do you? I take it from what you say that that view isn't widespread, but do you think there are many Native people who hold that view?
I think that I've heard a few individuals say that they would sell their shares in 1991, but I think the general consensus is that they will not sell their shares in 1991. And I think that as time goes on, they're realizing the value and what is represented in their 100 shares. One of the things that one of our shareholders said at one of the annual meetings was that he was, I don't know if he used the word ashamed, but he said he was surprised and he didn't think he held the responsibility to hold 100 shares in his hand that represents the Native people throughout the ages in his village and area, to have him give him the opportunity to sell that in 1991. He said that is something that never should have happened. And he said that as a young man himself, that he does not want to have that responsibility, has not earned the responsibility to even speak at an annual meeting or at a table that has decisions made at. I think that he is speaking true. I don't like the responsibility of holding 100 shares that I could sell and other people could sell, other shareholders could sell in 1991, because what is sold there is the end of the people. It comes right up there and stops. Spud made an observation that is true. It could stop right there, but the people would continue on living, but what's taken from them is everything that they lived for, is the land and everything that comes with the land. The money part, our elders said, is not that important, but make sure that you retain title to the land.
Just one last thing. You made a suggestion that consideration should be given to merging all of the corporations, the 200 village corporations and the 12 or 13 regional corporations, to form one unified Alaska Native corporation. In Atna, the village corporations, except one, have merged with the regional corporation, and in Nana, I believe, the village corporations have merged with the regional corporation. Did you see that as a preliminary step? And then once all the villages have merged with their regions, the regions themselves would merge, or is that something that you'd considered?
Well, what's happened in the Doyen region as far as mergers are concerned was that we've had not mergers but consolidations, and there are now three consolidations in the Doyen region. There has been some limited discussion between some villages that have suggested merging with Duane Unlimited, but that hasn't been brought up to the board, and to my knowledge. But I think that that's something that could lead to, well, in the Duane region, it'd be a lot difficult, more difficult, to merge the village corporation with Duane Unlimited, because in the Nana region, they're a lot closer. It's a smaller region. The people are close together. There was fewer villages. And the Duane region is the largest land owner in the land mass in the of the Claimed Settlement Act corporations. And our villages are scattered throughout the whole interior, as far as down as Holy Cross and as far up as Eagle. And there is a... there is, I think, probably a feeling that they like to maybe unite some way that the elders are suggesting, but I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if at this point, village corporations have been successful and are take pride in their village corporation. Other village corporations have not been successful at all. And a merger would be, they wouldn't consider it, because of the loss of the money and the other having made money.
Just one other thing. If you had, before 1991, a unified corporation of all regional and village corporations in Alaska, do you contemplate that there ought to be restrictions on the sale of shares in that corporation, or would you leave it to each individual person to decide for himself whether he would sell his shares or not?
I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that. I'd hope that they would all keep their shares, because of the intent behind that would be to keep all the corporations owned by Native people. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the land also.
Right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for coming down and participating. I do appreciate it. Yeah. Well, the next name is Mary Jane Tate.
Good morning, Honorable Berger. My name is Mary Jane Tate, and I live in Fairbanks. I was born in Rampart, Alaska, which is located on the Yukon River. I am Khoikhon Athabascan Indian, and I was raised traditionally, my mother and father, and we as children trapped in the wintertime 25 miles above our village. We spent all winter in a tent. In the springs, we muskrated in the flats. In summers, we fished below our village of Rampart, and we had a very minimal primary education. Our secondary education was in Bureau of Indian Affairs schoolings, which was a long ways from our village. I want to bring this point out because you could understand where I come from. I am presently president and executive director of our village corporation, of Bano Yilkon Corporation. Because we were more or less nomadic, our ceremonial activities were limited in the Rampart area, because our main thing was really going for the animals, and our travel was seasonal. And we just really were one of the poorest ethnic groups in the state of Alaska. As you maybe have heard, the Athabascans are noted to have been the poorest when it came to monetary, or even poorest in time. We didn't have time to have ceremonial doings or governmental structures. My involvement with Native Affairs started during my days in Mount Edgecombe in the 1950s. And I was one of the founders of the Fairbanks Native Association in the 60s, which is a nonprofit organization, and the North American Indian Women's Association, which is a national Indian Women's Organization, and I was their past president. I'm a shareholder not only of the Village Corporation, but as many of us, we are shareholders of Regional Corporation, and ours is Doyon Limited. Our Village Corporation is a profit corporation established in the Village of Rampart within the Doyon region pursuant to the provisions of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. We are a very small village corporation with an initial enrollment of 174 shareholders with 100 shares. This, of course, have changed because of deceased, and we have more individuals, but the same outstanding issued stock of 17,740 shares. We have, and we've asked to be last in conveyance of our land, mainly because we, the majority of us, did not have the education and or past experience or any type of comparative history to deal with planning, implementing, and managing our lands. So we got our conveyance of about 85,000 acres this last couple months, and we have the withholdings up to about 6,000 to 7,000 acres to be finalized in the future. The first 5 years of our corporation, we were we thought we were safe because it was up to the Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs to oversee our audited financial statements at a yearly basis and watch over things. And of course, our regional corporations were investing our monies on our behalf, looking at our proposed budgets, expense incomes, and okaying it, and really investing on our behalf. And we really felt safe. But to tell you the truth, we had no input in the planning, implementing, or maintaining any of our activities. And we suddenly woke up and realized that we better start managing and doing our own work. And when we did wake up, thank God, it wasn't too late. This became a reality to us. A lesson well learned and demonstrated to us by our forefathers is if you want anything done and done right, do it yourself. That is why we are here. We were and will continue to be a proud people. Although we were noted as the poorest of all ethnic groups, we survived through the most adverse conditions. We are a strong people. I do not know one Athabascan family who was really away from any crisis or adversity. We've all been through a lot. In regard to our Village Corporation today, as you have in one of your notes, how we stand today, we are a solvent corporation, very small. We are profitable. We have been declaring cash dividends from earned surplus. And we have other businesses that I'm proud to say we have 100% shareholder control and employment. We have money management and trust. We have a general merchandise store, which is we've spun off on its own corporation in the Village of Rampart. It has its own board of directors, fully corporate staffed. We have the post office rentals and a very small gravel business, other investments that are lucrative. And we've taken inventory of some of our assets, mainly timber, and we, as you know, do not own the subsurface. But as surface owners, I feel we have a lot of rights, and we are declaring those and doing a study now as committees and board members, and may present to our regional corporations what we feel as surface owners, what our rights are, and maybe instead of merging the regional with the village in total, we could merge a subsurface-surface relationship and venture in the future. So we'll make sure the village gets the fruits of a lot of what is taken from that area. Our village corporation should be under the best management possible, and it has been, and we've never missed a board meeting and or annual meeting because of a lack of a quorum or lack of understanding that there will be a meeting and what the agenda will be. We must survive as a corporation. It has been a congressional decision. We have to live by it, and we must survive. We could have restrictions and protection of our corporate stock. At this point, I'd like to bring out about the after 1971 shareholders. There's a lot of things we could write into our own laws, whether it be our own bylaws, articles of incorporation, and or amendments to the state or federal. But why can't we, after 1991, maybe a shareholder can distribute one share of his stock to his children or grandchildren born after 1971, and there be a stock dividend instead of a cash dividend of 100 to all shareholders enrolled to that corporation, and I hope avoiding any litigation if we treat everybody equal. Again, protection of our corporate land, I have down here, involvement of shareholders in the corporation's plan and implementation of these plans with continuous communication, be it newsletters, radio, schools, and person to person. It's a continuing educational experience for all of us, for we do not have did not have college degrees when we started out. Receiving the benefits by shareholders today, I am very concerned about our elderly and our youth, our people that are unable to get a job, and there are ways that our corporation, who are making money or could involve native groups, with more cash flow, we have more time for strengthening our culture. And I believe we have the best of all worlds if we would just take advantage of it. Some of the advantages we have as an ANCSA corporation are, we are a legal entity as a village corporation. Our shareholders are also shareholders in regionals, and we could benefit from both. While operating as a profit-making corporation, we, as well as our nonprofit village corporation councils, can obtain federal, state, local, and private monies from grants and or loans with low interest and long-term for or partial forgiveness of these loans. We are eligible right now for federal revenue sharing through state monies to our village and state for social services and other needs such as educational, medical, electrification, roads, airports, judicial matters, municipalities, wildlife management, housing, elderly, and Indian child welfare assistance, and many others. We received today the 7I monies from resources from our regionals, and if it's up to us as corporate, not only board members and staff, to let the shareholders know the formula, the timeliness, and if our regionals are not letting us know, or all the 12 regions together, the formula and what monies they are keeping in their fund to use maybe and draw interest, that the moment a regional distributes to other regionals, there is a time frame, there's an audit time frame, and there's a formula where it must get to the villages affected and at-large shareholders. And we've got to learn our own rules and what we have to live by and get the best of it. We have the right of ownership. We control our assets. Our village corporation controls everything, and that goes right from the shareholder to the committee. Our involvement is, I'm proud of it. We are first-class citizens of our state today. We have the rights. We have all rights. We have our own rules and regulations that we can change, and I believe we have amended ours already since 19, we say 71, but we didn't incorporate until 73. We've changed and amended the bylaws as we needed maybe three times, and we have plans now to amend them really to save our structure. And the United States Congress has, as you know, amended threw things into other windows that affects our future. And the state of Alaska, right before the state now, I don't know if it has passed to date, but the corporate code and the trespassing is going to affect us. Submerged lands has already affected us. And these changes are happening every day. And we've got to keep up on it. How do we do it when there isn't a clearinghouse? Or the suits that are already, even to the Constitution of the United States. There's been suits and amendments throughout the history. The political strength of our Native people is strong and is recognized and respected. And I feel that we could preserve our stock in many ways. We could have transfer restrictions. We could even repurchase treasury stock. We could option to purchase. We have right of first refusal. We could include the after 1971s. In regards to corporation land, we could classify our lands as planned by our shareholders and for the need of the village users. In many ways, we could put them in corporate trusts, family trusts, like other private people who have been unable to sell their lands in, I guess, Southern California or many other places for hundreds of years. But if we have it in, whether it be a land bank, we could use it as we need it, and if we wanted to develop it. We could, and I said before, enter into a joint venture with our regional corporations on surface, subsurface rights, and I feel that we are holding as a village corporation, and I would like to stress this, that we have more powers than we realize we have, and we could either restrict or end a restriction, tie up our lands, we could develop or even tie it up or put strong strings attached to any agreement with our regionals or other regionals and or big corporations like oil companies or other exploration companies, charge them a large permit, you name it, have us into their, have them distribute us some of their stock. I know we won't distribute any of ours, I could tell you that now, but there's a lot of things that we could work on if we could do it together. We have possibilities right now of tax shelters, and we could set up employee relationship with our shareholders, and there are amendments, changes where we could put out cash bonuses if we wanted, medical, dental, and life insurances, retirement plan, and pensions. We could employ. We could set up trusts, low-interest loans, scholarships, other charitable donations to the needy. We do in our very, again, a very small village. We donate, be it scholarships and or to the teen center, musical instruments, and where the students are now for the first time being able to take music in the schools and compete on a statewide level. We donate to the dog races, and we earmark, of course, that the youth and the elderly, 4th of July races and so forth. Our forefathers have proven that we have survived through a lot of business-like activities, including, and my dad was not only a commercial fisherman, but we subsistent fished, we gardened, hunted, trapped, fur traded, logged, mail carrier between Rampart, Eureka, and Manly Hot Springs. We raised dogs, trained, raced, took care of other people's dogs for in the miners' dogs in the summertime for money and or trade, and arts and crafts and tourism. But our family worked together, and it was really like a board. But we were a very caring people, and we knew our identity. We had our job in the villages, and we succeeded. Now, there are risks. I know we're concerned about losing our money and lands and possible litigations. I'm concerned about any main change of tying up our whole structure for 20 to 100 years. If we get out of the ANCSA corporation structure, we may lose the 7I resource income from regional corporations. And I would do all I can to fight any of our, what would you call it, fight any of our powers now, because we have the power of control over our entities. I would hate for us to be controlled in Washington, D.C. and or Oklahoma or Albuquerque by or the area directors and Juneau and or sub-regionals. I would like, because at that point, if we're under their control, whether it's the Secretary of Interior, BIA, they do not have the money, time, or manpower to do just job for our village corporations. And I don't know how caring they'd be, because they turn over and we'd have to keep educating Indian agents over and over, and it's very hard to do, because I have experienced that. The other thing I'm concerned about is if we were under the control of the federal, I would be concerned about their leasing of our subsurface, even though the village corporation do not have the subsurface to date. We do on patented lands or lands that we have purchased. But they have the right to lease, and at outdated prices, as they have done to the lower 48 Indians. We can be taxable under other structures, whether it be IRA and or reservation. We cannot avoid some of the taxation. We can lose state funds, manpower services and grants and all other benefits. And we can lose our political power that we now, and we worked for and attained in the state and the nation. I am very concerned about abuse of Indian agents. We have experienced it in the past in history. I am very concerned about the abusiveness and or control of anyone in the bureaucratic, be it conservative, Friends of the Earth, you name it, or liberals. Carpetbaggers, other corporations taking us over, and educated people that are attorneys and or accountants that could use a lot of our resources. I'm worried about cash outs, because if we give our land away to other entities and other non-shareholders, there's a possibility of lawsuits resulting from dissenting shareholders who will demand a cash out, and that's our money is working now and getting a lot of revenue in our money management, and I would hate for this to result in a large sum of money being lost, or we would have to get loans and it could break. We could have to go bankrupt. I'm concerned about non-shareholders, be it white, black, foreign. Taking over our assets, whether it's IRA and or another structure, where they could come into our village and take control of our land, our assets. And we as shareholders, whether someone is hospitalized or in jail or too old or too young to live in that village, will not have the fruits of that entity, but are really should have the fruits of it. And yet this person who is taking advantage of our assets could go upriver or downriver or across the river and still get the fruits of another corporate through another IRA. But we cannot and will not be able to get any of their benefits from their entities, whether it be in the lower 48 Canada or anywhere else. And I feel it would be a setback to our people If we work, to do something just because of crisis without any long-range planning. We can succeed. We could make money. And above all, we've got to enhance our shareholders' interests. And by doing this, I keep saying better communication, involve our shareholders, turn over our board members and committee members and employees are good, but we need continuity. We've got to do our land planning and the things that I would like to say be careful of course, is let's avoid litigation, avoid takeovers, and keep up to date on our goals and deadlines and tax laws, and learn the realty language. And the rules. The foreign countries and the carpetbaggers know the realty language, and we are not even talking realty at this time. And I'd like to thank you for listening to my presentation. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I can understand why your corporation is successful, having heard your most complete account of its activities. Could I ask you one question? You made a suggestion about the children born after 1971, and you I kind of missed it as you went by. Could you repeat that for me?
Well, according to the corporate code in the state of Alaska and the federal guidelines, today we just can't pass a stock dividend to any non-shareholders as such, because it would be open for litigation, I am sure, and who would we be benefiting? So therefore, if 1991 comes around, and let's say I have grandchildren, my children are all enrolled, so if my grandchildren, they aren't enrolled because I don't have any grandchildren, but let's say I gave, and I'm hoping I have about 20, one share to each of the 20, and then at a certain time frame, maybe every 5 years or every 1 year, depending upon the entity, there be a $100 cash stock distribution to all shareholders. And since my grandchild would have the one share that I distributed, that person would have 100. But also, if I am living, I would still have another 100, making mine 200 shares. And I feel that everybody will feel that they were fairly treated. And yet we will keep our Indians intact and adding on and not discriminating against the ones that are not involved now.
I understand, yes. Well, thank you very much. The names I have down now are Howard Luke, Roxanne Frank Borecki, Mike Waleri, and Andy Andre. Mr. Luke, Mr. Howard Luke had his name down next, then Roxanne Frank, then Frank Borecki, and Mike Waleri, and Andy Andre.
Well, I don't have much to say, but there are some things I want to get straightened out. I talked about land yesterday, and my students came up to me last night, the one I was teaching down there, and they came and asked me, how are they going to work them things? I says, I don't know. You got to talk to the tenant chief. I said, you had your chance to speak. Well, they said, would you speak for us? I said, sure, I will. I said, I ain't afraid to speak at no time. So there's two things that I want. There's three things I want to get straight now that I talk about the land. Now, this another thing is this welfare and the government, you know. Welfare and the government are spoiling our people. They're getting all these welfares, and there's people that can go out and work. And I know some of them do good beat work, and they're selling that, and they're still getting welfare. And that thing should be looked into. And all of these things, that I'm going to work till I can't do no. If I can't work with these hands, I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to talk to people and teach people. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I intend to do. I'm going to back up my people 100%. And I've got a lot of people behind me, white and black. That's what I said over at the university. I said, I'll back you up anytime. I said, I know you guys will back me up. So therefore, I want to talk to my people. And just like this Bob Bettisworth says, this thing here, I talked to Mike and he said he was going to look into it, but I don't think they're looking into it too. And it ain't right that Bob put that in papers, that the natives are taking over the pioneers. That ain't right. Tana Chief and all you guys supposed to look in there right away and look in right to it. You're not doing it. If you people are not doing it, I'm going to look into it. I went and I told him, I said, I'm going to look into it because I got these other backings. These other guys are going to back me up. And therefore, you've got to look into things like that, you know. And I don't like that, you know. It just makes me sick just to listen to these things. Another thing is a lot of things you say about the stocks. And before long, they go bankrupt. And what's the young generation going to do? They wouldn't have nothing. They would have no place. We'd be just like this. We'd be right, they always, they couldn't do none. They, and therefore, I said, right now is the time to start doing things. It's no wait till tomorrow. I want to get it done now so we can start working on it right now, because some of the young generation is going to be hard times for them. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm teaching them. Some of those I'm teaching over there is 40, 50 years old, and they're really interested in that. And therefore, I said I'd like to have more people doing that, but there's a lot of people say, oh, we teach our kids at home. I heard that once before. And they say they're supposed to listen to the elders, but they're not. They're just going ahead and doing it themselves. They're supposed to listen to the elders. They're not. And I'm against all of that. And if anybody wants to say something, I wanted to say that while Sputton Nim was here, but they took off, because it's not right what they're doing. And I believe I'm right on that, because I've been thinking that, and I've been talking to people, and people says, you're right, do more of that. Maybe one of these days that people will listen to you. So I'm going to make another write-up again and see if people can listen to me. And it's got to take a hold now, because where people say they're helping, and where? See, I built my house, and I went up there and asked them for help to build my house, and I couldn't get no help. And that's when I had a heart attack. I had a heart attack. I want them to help me. I just wanted them to pay my room rent, that's all. No. They won't help me no way. I was just lucky that I had a little insurance. And that's what they're for. They're supposed to help us. And they're not. It just makes me so mad sometimes. Some nights I lay there and I just think about it. And they always said this, and that's all you hear. And when they have that meeting down there, we had meeting every June down there, and we had this one passed down there. I gave 5 acres for the elders. And that's not the elders just for Fairbanks, that's for everybody. And they're supposed to give us that money to build that house. That's a year ago. We got donation from some cooperation. Every cooperation gave us $250, and we started working on that thing, and we got the foundation on there. Now it rains this summer, that's all that's going to all go down the drain, because we ain't got the money to go get it. We figure that anybody can go down there if they want potlatch or have death in their family. They can go down and have potlatch and that stuff, and they said they're going to do it. I never heard a thing about it. I asked Mike Irwin the other day, and he says, no, I never knew nothing about it. And who's supposed to do this? I'm just sick and tired of this stuff. They say, you're going to do this and we're going to do that. I don't know what. And if nobody don't start doing something about it, I'm going to do something about it. Because that thing can't go on. Like she said, we got land and we got money. What are we bitching about? I ain't got no money. I never got no money, no time. No land at no time. I don't know where she got that from. And that's about all I got to say, and I hope you just pass down so. Because it makes me sick once in a while. I'm sick and tired of this stuff just going on, and just it's like telling the story. I can tell you stories. Well, you just want to tell a story when you talk. Like when I talk, I don't read. I go by my heart, and I'm telling the truth right there, just like I teach my students out there. I tell them I don't go read that. So a lot of people do that. I said, this man don't do that. I said, I'm telling you the truth. That's about all I got to say. Thank you,
Mr. Luke. Thank you very much. Roxanne Frank is the next name.
My name is Roxanne Frank, and I'm originally from Minto, but I stay in Fairbanks. I just wanted to give you my views about what I thought of the land claims when it first came out. my dad, Richard Frank, used to go to meetings a lot, and they were fighting over land that would start back in the 20s. And when the land claims came out, I thought that I would be able to have land that I would own myself. I really didn't understand because I was about 13 or 14 years old. And I thought that BIA won't be coming around to be managing. And I thought we would get away from the government. But the way it turns out now is that the state is trying to take over a certain part of the land that we don't own it ourselves. And that there's certain things we can't do. Like when we first moved to the village of New Minto, they put in a road there which had no approval from the village. A couple years later, hunters came into the village, Labor Day weekend, GIs from Fort Wayne or wherever. Every morning, 5 o'clock, you hear guns going off like a war was going on out in the lakes. And we were getting tired of it. I thought that we would be able to manage our own land and own hunting grounds and doing all this by ourselves, but somehow we're still in the government's hand and we have to have permission to do certain things, have license to do hunting and fishing, taking out our fish net at a certain time and putting it back in, which was brought in our traditional ways. We did it brought up from, you know, from our grandparents. And I just felt like that it wasn't, you know, we didn't have that right to do that. And the state is just trying to take over that from us. And I just hope that they do work it out in some way, that we will be able to do things that by ourselves and have the government running it for us. And I have two boys. I feel like they should be able to have part of that because they were born after 71. And some people say, like, because they're not enrolled in Doyon or whatever village corporation, that they feel like they're not Native. As far as I'm concerned, everyone is Native as long as they were taught the values of their culture. And they say that they would sell their stocks by 1991. I feel in the village they say that they won't sell because they were taught that if you sell it, you will sell yourself and the land. And if, like, we're brought up with the land, we're born from the land, like, and we stay together. And you're nothing without the land. That's how I feel. Money doesn't count in here. It's important because land is important to us. And that's all I want to say about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Frank. Thank you. Frank Borecki.
My name's Frank Borecki. I'm from Fairbanks. I'm a realty officer at Town and Out Chiefs Conference and vice president of the Alaska Land Managers Association. But the views I have here are just my own, and they don't represent the position of any other organization. I'd like to speak about a particular part of the Settlement Act having to do with Native allotments. A lot of that gets overlooked a lot of times because the emphasis is on corporation lands. But Native allotments were intended to be individually owned lands where people actually had their camps and trap lines and where they did most of their own personal or family use. These have been overlooked because these are just individuals who own this 160 acres and they don't have the political clout of a corporation. They don't have the good organizations that really look out for their interests. There's a few organizations that do, but they don't have the pull that the corporations do. So these people have been getting a lot of the, well, they don't get the attention that a lot of the other land conveyances get. There were 9,000 native allotments applied for in the state, and so far less than 600 people have gotten title to those allotments. One of the results of the Settlement Act was to repeal the native allotments, so that since 1971, nobody has been able to apply for an allotment. I don't think this is fair at all, because there are still Settlement Acts or settlement-type claims on the books for non-natives, like homesteads and home sites and headquarter locations and trade and manufacturing sites. You can apply for those sort of things, but you can't apply for a native allotment anymore. And I think that's totally unfair, and I don't think the Allotment Act should have been repealed. A lot of these allotments have good economic potential. The people that own them own the gravel and the timber, and that could bring them in some money. But they've been waiting now for the last 12 or 13 years to have their surveys done. They can't get title until they get the surveys, and these aren't it's the same argument that there's not enough money to do all the surveys, so they're still waiting for their titles. And because these applications are now 13 years old, a lot of these folks are dying without ever getting their title to their own lands. There's a lot of confusion about allotments, because they're confused with corporation lands. People are afraid that they're going to lose their allotment in 1991, and actually they're separated. Allotments have nothing to do with 1991, but this is a source of confusion, and it's never really been cleared up by the BIA or the government that has a responsibility to do this sort of thing. The government has a trust relationship with these people, but I think that relationship has become more restrictive than protective. The government, through the BIA, exercises the right of approving transactions over these allotments, when actually I think what they should be doing is just telling people, giving them information and giving them assistance in how to make a good informed decision, and then let them make that decision. When actually they're approving what people, you know, they're making decisions for people, and that's, I don't think that's their right. I don't think they should have that veto power over a transaction unless there's an indication of fraud or some kind of questionable tactics involved. And I don't think they're making enough of an effort to get out the information to these folks that they need to know, because there's so much confusion about what lands they're even talking about. People talk about their allotments and corporation lands together, and they don't understand the differences in them. The effect of these allotments, they also cloud the title of some of the corporation lands, because they're in holdings